I'm continuing in 1 John. We're in the final chapter of his first general letter. And I'm going to read the first five verses of 1 John chapter 5. We've considered the first three. I want to focus in on verses 4 and 5, but I'll read the first five verses of 1 John chapter 5. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. By this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith.
Yes.
Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God?
Amen.
May you know that blessing today. Well, as I've just mentioned, I've reached two more verses in John's first general letter. To true believers in the Lord Jesus Christ. By true believers, meaning those born from above by God the Holy Spirit. And these two verses continue to show that John is writing under the infallible inspiration of God the Holy Spirit in comparison to the Spirit that continues to work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once walked until the Lord saved us. Amen. Until the Lord saved us, if you confess personal belief in the biblical Christ, and the ongoing disobedience of non-believers is easily seen by their rejecting what John has written in the verse that I ended at last Sunday, verse 3. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. But also by the verses I want to try and open up today, verses 4 and 5. So to begin, how do you know that John is stating or declaring something true about those born of God in verse 4? Because of what he has written in verse 3. Why do I say this? Because of that little conjunction, that little joining word at the beginning of verse 4. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. And the first word of verse 4 is for. For all born of God overcometh the world. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Notice, John is stating something about believers here. He's stating something about those born of God in comparison to the world that you were born out of by the Holy Spirit of God. What do born of God believers do? They overcome the world. They overcome the world. But what is the world that John declares those who have been born of God overcome? It is the world that displays in the various ways it can display this truth that it finds the commandments of God grievous.
Right.
The world you were saved out of, believer, finds the commandments of God grievous. They find the commandments of God a burden. They find the commandments of God a hindrance. And in order for a sinner to have a right, non-grievous attitude to the commandments of God, to be saved out of the world that has a grievous attitude towards the commandments of God, he or she must be born again of God.
Amen.
And another way the opening words of verse 4 could be translated are, for all born from the God, emphasizing the true living true and only God, for all born from the God overcome the world. Overcome what world? The world, as I said, that finds the commandments of God grievous in the various ways it does, as I will illustrate. And in order to be delivered from this universal condition of all mankind in the world, displayed in the ways I will illustrate, a person has to be born of God. For whatsoever is born of God, literally born from the God. The word born is a perfect passive verbal participle. Now, why do I emphasize this? Well, you'll understand in a moment. And John is the only Bible writer to use the word born in this way. He uses it twice in this way in John 3:6. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is Spirit. Once in 1 John 5:1, in which he gives another evidence of someone who has been born of God. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. And the final time here in verse number 4. For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. Perfect passive. Perfect tense means something that took place in the past. The effects, and in this case the beneficial effects, proceed forward in time. Passive voice, meaning something not done by you. That which is born, perfect passive, of the flesh is flesh. I want to ask you something. I don't want to embarrass anybody here. I'm not trying to embarrass anybody here. But did you have any part to play in your conception? Did any of us here have any part to play in our conception? No. That which is born of flesh, perfect passive, of the flesh is flesh. You had no active part in your natural conception. You didn't send a note to your parents and say, hey, I want to be born on February the 10th, 1954. You had no part to play. Regardless of who you are, that which is born, perfect passive, of the Spirit is Spirit. You had no active part in your being born again by God. For whatsoever is born, perfect passive of God, overcometh the world. Believer, you had no active part in your changed attitude towards the law of God. God changed it.
Thank God.
God changed it when you were changed by God. Notice I said changed by God, passive voice. You did not give yourself new life in Christ.
Praise God.
God did.
Yes.
And when God does this, he enables you to overcome the world. And your former grievous and wrong attitude that you had towards the commandments of God. For if I might be so bold as to ask, how many in this world of unbelieving men and women find the commandments of God grievous, showing that they have not been born of God? How many of them? All of them. Every last single one of them. Every non-believer finds the commandments of God grievous in some way. And for the purposes of illustration, I will break all commandment of God disliking non-believers down into two main categories. The legalist and the antinomian. The legalist and the antinomian. Now, the legalist, by legalist meaning someone who thinks he keeps the law, can keep it on his own, and doesn't find it grievous, probably takes offense at being told he finds the law of God grievous. But he does, as I will show. Whereas the antinomian would agree with me, because he is an antinomian. Anti meaning against the law. For both the legalist and the antinomian display the truth that they are both still a part of the unbelieving world. Both see the commandments of God as grievous, a burden. Now, these two categories of unbelievers most likely would look with disfavor, even annoyance, at being put together as those who find the commandments of God grievous. How dare you? How dare you? Says the antinomian, to put me together with a legalist. I'm against all law. How dare you, says the legalist. How dare you put me together with an antinomian? Don't you see how I keep the law? But both the legalist and the antinomian, in their own way, display the truth that they have not been delivered from their seeing the commandments of the Lord as grievous. Both of these two groups of sinners show that they are part of the world. The world of Men that have not been born of God by the different ways they display their dislike of the commandments of God. Now, it would not surprise me, as I said, that the rebellious sinner, the antinomian, would have no problem admitting this, that he finds the commandments of God grievous by his rebelling against them and rejecting them. But how many lost, legalistic, religious people would be shocked? Would be shocked at being told that they're also part of the world of commandment of God, disliking sinners. But religious people are legalists. Lost religious people are a part of the world, and God alone knows how great a part of this lost world's law of God disliking sinners are such legalists. I shudder to think how many are in churches.
Yes.
Who truly hate the law of God. And they illustrate this truth in more than one way. The religious, lost legalist shows he dislikes the commandments of God by how they reinterpret the law to downplay it and minimize both its meaning and convicting power. This is why Jesus so annoyed the lost legalist scribes and Pharisees. They prided themselves in being law keepers, in being keepers of the law, but in reality they found it grievous by how they minimized what it meant, by how they downplayed what it meant. Jesus exposes their grievous dislike of the commandments of God in the Sermon on the Mount. Just two examples, Matthew 5. You have heard that it was said of them of old time, thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother a cause shall be in danger of the council, but whosoever shall say thou fool shall be in danger of hellfire. How many sitting in churches today say, I'm okay, I've never killed anybody. I've never taken out a Glock and blown somebody away. But they're sitting in the pews with hatred in their heart towards somebody else in that building. Have you ever heard the expression, if looks could kill? Ever heard that? If looks could kill? Have you ever heard the expression, I wish you were dead? Hey, how many children? How many children? Because their parents wouldn't give them something they wanted, have said to them, I wish you were dead. And thank God he doesn't give man the power that he has. Because friends, how many of us in this room would be dead? But the legalist comes along and says, oh, I've never hated anybody. I've never killed anybody. Friends, there's mental murder. You can kill somebody with your mind many times over. But the legalist comes along and says, I never killed anybody. That's just one example. Second example. Matthew 5:27, you have heard that it was said by them of old time that thou shalt not commit adultery, but I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. Right. How many have ever heard of pornography? How many men in the churches haven't repented and said, Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner. Help me to make a covenant with my eyes. That's just two things, friend. That's just two things. The lost religious legalist finds the commandments of God grievous to his proud heart.
Right.
Too convicting.
What the law demands is too high for my proud religious heart to accept, so I will whittle it down. I'll whittle it down to a level that I can find acceptable and I can achieve on my own, and then I can say, I thank you, O God, that I'm not like all other men. Oh, lost religious legalists are part of the world that believers are saved out of by God. To see that whittling down the law down to something I can manage prevents me from seeing how much I need the Son of God as my only hope of acceptance with God. But a second way that lost religious legalists find the commandments of God grievous is by the refusing to see why God gave His commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. One of the reasons God gave us His commandments is to show a true believer in God, a true Christian, how to display their love for the God who first loved them by sending Christ into this world to be the propitiation for our sins. But for the commandment of God disliking lost religious legalists, they've distorted and perverted the purpose of the commandments of God into something they think that by keeping, they're able to make themselves acceptable to God.
Right.
But this is a grievous misuse and display of a true dislike of the commandments of God. For you're not showing your appreciation of something, your love for something, your thankfulness for something, if you're using it in a way it was never meant to be used. For example, if Dale was to give me a nice new white shirt to wear to worship, and then she finds me under our Avio changing the oil, I am not using it correctly. Did God give His commandments for sinner man to climb up into heaven? By keeping? No. Romans 3:20, therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in His sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Friends, if God was to give us an accurate count of the number of lost religious legalists in the churches in America today, who think they are accepted by God because of something they have done, regardless of what that something is, I think it would show you that if true revival was to come to America, the last thing that you should be surprised at would it be starting in the churches. Because how many in the churches are sitting there thinking, I'm all set because of something they've done?
That's right.
I'm all set because of something I've done. I got myself baptized. I raised my hand. I said the prayer. I walked the aisle all the while hating the commandments of God. Lost worldly legalistic religious men find the commandments of God grievous because they refuse to accept the truth that the giver of His commandments, God, never gave them as a means of acceptance with Him. Never did. But something that shows to those born of God that their only hope is faith in the only Savior of sinners, the Lord Jesus Christ. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, that overcometh the world of downgrading the commandments of God or using them incorrectly, even our faith, literally the faith of us, the faith of believers, as the next verse declares that Jesus is the Son of God, the one willing and able to make them right with God. But before considering this truth in more detail, for all born of God overcome the world, whether it be lost legalist, religious sinner, and if you wanted a description of such a lost religious sinner, just read Paul's testimony. Just read Paul's testimony in Philippians 3, describing all that he prided himself in doing as a lost legalistic Pharisee.
before being born of God to see that all his righteousnesses were as filthy rags and as dung in the sight of God. But the second group that makes up the world that finds the commandments of God grievous are the antinomians. Those who show that they find the commandments of God grievous by disobeying them and breaking them. They're not like the lost religious legalists of this lost world who think that they have a right to downplay what the law means and misuse it. The antinomian displays that he is a part of the commandment of God disliking world by breaking the commandments of God, and he doesn't have any problem doing so. They don't have minds renewed by the Holy Spirit to see the purpose of the commandments of God, but reprobate minds, as Paul writes at the end of Romans 1. Those powerful verses, Romans 1, 28 to the end of the chapter. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, deceitful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who know in the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them.
Yeah.
That sounds like the world.
Yeah.
Rebellious antinomian sinners show that they find the commandments of God grievous by their unbridled breaking of them and annoyance at anyone else telling them that what they're doing is wrong. And a classic example of a rebellious antinomian who finds the commandments of God grievous in the scriptures is Herodias. She did not like John the Baptist telling King Herod it was not right for him to be lying with the wife of his brother. And what happened to John the Baptist's head because of this antinomian rebel sinners finding the commandment of God, "Thou shalt not commit adultery," grievous? What happened to his head, friends? He lost it. He lost it. And what do you see both the lost religious sinners and lost antinomian rebellious sinners doing because they did not like Jesus and his correct explanation and exposition of the law? After Jesus corrected the legalistic Pharisees' wrong understanding of the Sabbath, truth I'll be looking at this afternoon from Luke 6, what does Mark record that both the legalists and the antinomians did? What did they do? Mark 3, 1 down to verse 6. And he entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. And they watched him whether he would heal on the Sabbath day that they might accuse him. And he saith unto him, unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. And he saith unto him, Is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath days or to do evil, to save life or to kill? But they held their peace. And when he had looked around about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their hearts, he saith unto the man, stretch forth thine hand. And he stretched it out, and his hand was restored whole as the other. Verse 6 of Mark 3. And the Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel with the Herodians, legalists and antinomians, how they might destroy him. What strange bedfellows, legalists and antinomians, both joined together in their hatred of Christ. But maybe not so strange, friends, for lost legalists are antinomians against the commandments of God because they want to decide for themselves what the law means. They're against the law. They think they have the right to define for themselves what the law's commandments of God mean. And lost antinomians are legalists because they are a law unto themselves. Don't tell me what I can and cannot do. Non-believers are legalistic antinomians and antinomian legalists. And people doubt that sin has warped their ability to think correctly. But what is true of those born of God?
For all born of God overcome the world. Believer, you come by faith to see that you have displayed a grievous dislike for the commandments of God in whatever way you displayed it, religiously or rebelliously, or a hodgepodge of both. Because what enables the former legalist, lost religious sinner to overcome his dislike of the commandments of God, and the former antinomian rebellious sinner's dislike of the commandments of God, even though they used to display their dislike in different ways? And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith, or the faith of us. The formerly lost legalist religious sinner and the formerly lost antinomian rebellious sinner both come by regenerating grace to see that saving faith in the Lord Jesus Christ is their only hope of acceptance with God. 1 John 5:5, who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? That Jesus is the Son of God. When a believer is born of God, he or she is enabled to see and believe the truth about the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Son of God. He's the only perfect Son of God. He is the unique Son of God. To put anyone in league with Jesus, the Son of God, is to deny the truth of who he is and blaspheme his person and his perfection. The world, regardless of the form it takes, rejects the truth that Jesus is the unique Son of God, the perfect and only substitute for those believing that he is the only one who can make them right with God. I came into this world a child of the devil. I came into this world a child of the devil, as seen by my indifference, apathy, and opposition to the law of God, in not caring what it actually said or having any desire to keep it, out of love for God and my fellow man. Jesus was born sinless into this world so that he could do what no one else is capable of doing, be the perfect Son of God. Even though as the perfect Son of God, that meant his being willing to do all the Word of God revealed for him to do, even die on that cross. Even die on that cross to enable God the Holy Spirit to regenerate, adopt, and save those he died for. Friends, if the legalist's grievously wrong view of the commandments of the Lord was correct, then the greatest work of God in sending his only begotten Son into the world to die for legalistic lost religious sinners would have been unnecessary. And that, friends, is pure, undiluted heresy. It is pure, undiluted heresy. And if Jesus wasn't this sinful world's perfect, sinless substitute for a world of lost sinners, what hope would sinners who have been convicted by the Holy Spirit to see that all they deserve is hell? Because of the number of ways they know they have sinned against God and man. They would have no hope. But a sinner, a sinner who has been born of God, sees and believes that Jesus is the unique Son of God, the one who enables him to overcome the sin of seeing the commandments of God as grievous. Because the one who saved you, believer, from your sin of seeing the commandments of God as grievous, in whatever way you displayed that sin, he did not see them as grievous. Jesus, the Son of God, kept them perfectly out of his amazing love for his Father and those he came to save. Jesus, the Son of God, not only explained the commandments of God perfectly, fulfilled them perfectly, and willingly laid down his sinless life as the commandment of God, hating sinners' only hope, showing that he is the unique and only Son of God, the Savior of all those believing on him alone for acceptance with God. Do you believe this? Do you believe he is? Blessed are you if you do. I ask you, are you blessed this morning? Let us pray. Oh Lord our God, the clarity of your word, we thank you. I thank you for
showing us the truth of what it means to be a commandment of God-hating sinner. And that you have shown your people in this place the wonderful truth that Jesus Christ came into this world to save commandment of God-hating sinners and make us your adopted children. Oh Lord, have mercy on the many in this world, showing that they hate you because of the way they rebel against your commandments. Mm-hmm. And Lord, have mercy upon the many, even in the churches. We're gathering thinking, well, I'm not like those outside the church. Grant them mercy, Lord, to see that all their righteousnesses are as filthy rags.
Yes.
And that our only hope is the finished work of your wonderful Son. Guide us into a greater understanding of what your Son has done for sinners. And we will give you all the praise.
Yes.
In his wonderful name.